We will continue on with the merit docket and hear argument in the case of Clyde Stackfield versus the City of Camden. We're ready when you are, Mr. Hayden.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes if I may.
Yes, sir. 5 minutes, Richard.
May it please the Court, my name is Charles Hayden, and I represent the appellant Clyde Stackfield, who was convicted in a bench trial in the Hampton Circuit Court of one count of trespassing and received a 2-day suspended sentence and $100 fine. We have assigned as error that a trial court erred in allowing Officer Freeman to repeat hearsay testimony from the Food Lion manager that Stackfield had been barred from the premises of the Food Lion, and erred in denying the motion to strike based on the failure to have anyone from the Food Lion testify that he had in fact been barred by the management of Food Lion. The Hampton Municipal Code, which is analogous to the Virginia Trespassing Code, requires proof as an element of the crime that oral or written notice of the prescription against entry has been given, or that a no trespassing sign has been posted by the owner, lessee, custodian, or other person lawfully in charge of the property, or by the holder of an easement or other right-of-way who is authorized to post such a sign. There was no one from Food Lion to testify to that.
But why isn't it, I guess actually it addresses both issues, but on the hearsay point, if the statement that was relayed by the officer was given not for the truth of the matter asserted, but simply in order to provide notice, satisfying that notice requirement of the statute that you just referenced, Why doesn't that take it outside the scope of hearsay because it's not being offered for the truth?
Well, I mean, it's still an element of the statute that has to be established that he has been, the statute uses the wording that has to be shown that it says if any person without authority will go upon or remain upon lands after having been forbidden to do so, either orally or in writing by the owner, lessee, custodian, or other person lawfully in charge of the property. That's an element of the offense they have to establish. And if somebody who needs to testify to the fact that he's been forbidden to go into the property, and the officer can't do it, I note that the city's brief suggested that there was, they cited the Holland case for the proposition that, well, the officer has authority to forbid a person to go onto their property. Well, I would distinguish that case by noting that under the Holland case, that the officer was acting as an agent for, he had actually was operating under a signed power of attorney that the owner of the premises authorized him to proceed to go and forbid certain persons to be on the property. So that's a distinguishing factor. There was no such power of attorney that made the officer, in fact, a representative of the management and as a under a power of attorney that made him an agent. This was simply a law enforcement officer who's testifying what he's heard from others that he's been barred from the premises by the manager. Now, the per curiam opinion stated Freeman's testimony was not hearsay because he did not relate a statement made by the store manager. Officer Freeman simply testified that the manager did not want the appellant on the premises. Well, that's hearsay. I mean, it's asserting a proposition. The manager doesn't want him on the premises. And I think that the per curiam goes on to say, accordingly, we cannot say the trial court abused its discretion overruling a appellant's hearsay objection. Well, I would respectfully submit that it clearly can, that was being asserted for the truth of the assertion that he's been barred by the owner, by the manager of the Food Line, and they needed to have the manager of the Food Line there or someone who was a representative of the Food Line. And it's not enough to simply have the officers pass on that hearsay. The Stackfields counsel, the trial counsel maintained because there was no evidence, written or oral, of a written or oral prohibition against entry given to Stackfield by the owner, lessee, custodian, or other person lawfully in charge of the property, such as the Food Line manager, the city failed to establish an essential element of the offense. It's a pretty straightforward argument. I don't think it needs to be beaten into the ground. The officer is either allowed to testify on behalf of the manager, and I don't believe that in this case he wasn't operating under a power of attorney, so he was not part of the management. He can't testify that Stackfield received the notice. For no other questions?
No, that's fine. Thank you very much. Mr. Stolle?
Good afternoon, and may it please the court. I'm Graham Stolle. I represent the city of Hampton. The trial court's ruling should be affirmed for two reasons. First, the testimony of Officer Freeman to Stackfield was not hearsay because it was offered for, not for the truth of the matter asserted, but rather that to show that Stackfield had noticed he was pulled from the property. And second, Officer Freeman did have authority to bar Stackfield pursuant to the powers granted to law enforcement officers in 15.2.17.04. Regarding the hearsay argument, to clarify the record, the officer does not testify that the Food Line manager previously barred Stackfield. The officer testifies that he approached Stackfield and told Stackfield the Food Line manager no longer wanted him on the property. So that statement there is the process of barring Stackfield at that time. And the officer does have power to do that under the decision in Holland, which we'll get to in the second point.
Counsel, can you get around hearsay by simply rephrasing the way you testify?
Your Honor, no, and I think with the court's opinions, there are implied hearsay regardless of how you present the statement. And I think there is implied hearsay in this case at hand. However, there are several cases on point in which the court has allowed a review of the context of the conversation to determine whether or not it was admissible for some other purpose. This court in Brown, on an en banc hearing, determined that they reviewed the context of a conversation between the victim and the defendant to determine if there is a prior relationship between the two. And the court determined that we can review the context of the conversation to see if there's some other purpose and what the relationship was. And the court in that particular case says that that statement, that the conversation was admissible to show the fact that there was a relationship between the two parties. Further, there are several cases pointed cited in brief, including Fuller and Bryan, in which there are examples where the context of the conversation or the statements are reviewed and then are omitted for some other purpose than for the truth of the matter asserted. And if we look at the hearsay in this particular case, looking at the record, you have the two statements. Technically, you have the statement from the officer to Stackfield, specifically that the Food Line manager no longer wanted him there. And implied in that statement is the statement from the Food Line manager to the officer that he didn't want Stackfield on the property. And we can use both the inferred statement and the actual statement to Stackfield, and neither of them are offered for the truth of the matter asserted. If we look at Brown, in that case in particular, the court admitted testimony going back to show the relationship between the two parties, an exchange of whether or not the two parties were going to exchange sex for cocaine. And the court determined that was admissible to show a relationship. And we're offering that implied hearsay to show that there was a relationship between the Food Line manager and between the officer, giving the officer the ability to take the actions he did. And if you look at the totality of the circumstances in the record, you'll see on page 7A of the appendix, the officer arrived on scene based on a report of trespassing, spoke to the Food Line manager, based on that conversation, then went and spoke specifically to Stackfield and told Stackfield the Food Line manager no longer wanted him on the property. Stackfield then left the property, went around the corner, took off his coat, and immediately came back onto the property, at which point he was confronted by a private security guard and started yelling obscenities at that security guard. So if you look at the totality of circumstances, those statements offered were to show Stackfield had notice who is not permitted on the property, and not to show that the food line manager previously barred Stackfield. That's not what it was offered for. It was, Stackfield was barred at the time. The offer presented notice and made that statement to Stackfield. If there are no further questions regarding hearsay, I'll address the authority the officer had. Under 15.2.1704, law enforcement officers necessarily have implied the power to bar unauthorized individuals from premises. And as the appellant noted, there are some distinctions between Holland. This court has determined that Holland is settled principle, that officers do have the power to respond to requests for assistance from property owners. And there are some distinctions between Holland and this case at hand. Holland, there was a power of attorney in which it specifically laid out what the officer's powers were and who was and was not an authorized individual. The officers then, based on Loudonhouse's power of attorney, the power of attorney was granted to the entire Leesburg Police Department, were then operating on that property and barred Mr. Holland in that case. The court in Holland, though, if you look at page 74 and 75 of Holland, they make a distinction between the general powers that law enforcement have under 15.1138, which was a code section at that time. It was repealed and recodified into 15.2.1704. But the court in Holland specifically said, under that code section, law enforcement officers have the power to respond to requests for police assistance. The very next paragraph, they then address the procedure in which the Loudonhouse and the Leesburg Police Department went about it. And the court in that case determined that the procedure merely created an opportunity for the law enforcement officers to have an ongoing relationship with the Loudonhouse. And it created a situation in which the officers were able to determine who was and was not an unauthorized individual, which is distinct from the general principle that law enforcement officers have the ability to bar specified unauthorized individuals, which was the principle of Holland. In this case at hand, we have a specified unauthorized individual, and that was Stackfield. And again, going back to the record, we see on page 7 and 8 of the appendix, the officer responded to a report of trespassing, went up to the food line manager, based on that conversation, then spoke to Stackfield, and told Stackfield he was no longer permitted on the property. Stackfield left, took off his coat, and immediately came back onto the property, at which point he was arrested for trespassing. If there are no further questions, I thank the court for the time.
Hearing none, we thank you very much, sir. Mr. Hayden, your vote.
If there are no questions, I'll wait, but I don't want to say anything.
Well, as odd as it may be, I do have a question, Mr. Hayden. I'm sorry, but can you address Mr. Stolle's point about how you can get to the fact that it's not hearsay by looking at the two statements?
Well, the officer can testify to what he did, but he cannot establish the element that the manager has barred or some representative of Food Line has barred him from the premises.
What about the Brown case?
I don't recall the specific facts of that case.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. In keeping with our tradition, we'll step down and